walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me.
Hey, welcome to the third episode of BernieCast, and Mike's back for this one. Last time I had that Skype call with Aiden from the Sanders for President subreddit, and so I was just sitting alone in front of my desk in my office having a conversation with him, but now I'm back at Mike's house, and we're going to talk today about what's been going on with Bernie lately.
Well, today I got a note from somebody on Twitter wanting to know if I had coined the phrase hashtag real deal. And I said, yeah. And what happened was that was several months ago, but I didn't turn it into a hashtag until recently. And there's kind of a story behind it that I want to tell you. In a way, it goes back to my roots. And I promise not to go that far back. That would take all night. But I grew up in southern Kansas, and as a little kid, I used to love to hear the expressions that the old guys would say and use around each other. And I was talking to a man a few months ago, I don't know, someplace at Hy-Vee or something. We got to talking about politics, and Bernie Sanders came up, and this guy was reminded me of one of the old boys from where I grew up down in Scammon, Kansas. And he said, you know, I looked at that Bernie and I listened to Bernie. Now, he's the real deal, ain't he? And I said, yes, he is. And it struck me that perfectly sums up what I would call Bernie's authenticity, his charismatic authenticity. When you see Bernie and you hear Bernie, your response is from the heart, because he's the real deal. He's not some smarmy Ted Cruz who's trying to make points with his right-wing morons, saying he's going to wreck the Supreme Court and all of these phonies with the goop on their hair. It's all slick. I just get so tired of them. And I remember when John Stewart had that wonderful bit. He said, here is Hillary 100% organized, and there's Bernie. He forgot his comb. Bernie is Bernie. He is exactly what you see is what you get. What you hear is what you get. If this man says we ought to have free university education for every kid who qualifies, he means that. He's gonna follow through on that. There in the past, that's why the labor movement is behind him, because they realize he means what he says. He's not like these politicians who say, oh, we're going to take care of the working man. We care about the working man. And then they get in office, and my God, they do just the opposite. They forget every promise they ever made. Bernie's not like that. He's been singing the same song for 35, 40 years. Matter of fact, it was no big deal to him about, for example, the latest thing, gay marriage. What's the big deal? No big deal. Barney wrote a letter 40 years ago that said there shouldn't be any laws in regard to sexuality. There shouldn't be any laws regarding how you practice your religion, as long as you don't hurt somebody.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, Bernie is the real deal, and it started here on a BernieCast.
There we go.
There you go.
Excellent.
All right.
Well, it won't come as any surprise just talking about him being the real deal that this week a lot of big labor came out to endorse Bernie Sanders.
I'm not surprised. I mean, they see, I think, what everybody else sees who is interested in Bernie Sanders. And the thing, we have a terrific hump to get over, and it's a learning curve. We have got to figure out how to get people to tune into him. That's all they need to do. They need to shut off Fox News and MSNBC and CBS and ABC and NBC because the real stories aren't there.
Right.
Most of their stories are distractions.
Or commentary on something for 24 hours straight.
And sometimes they have some nice stories, you know. There are that warm your heart. And I like to have the cockles of my heart warm, just like anybody. But the real news is out there. Is anybody reporting on the fact that there have been now 6 black churches burned since the Charleston massacre? Is anybody reporting on that? No, not in the mainstream. And you sure as hell aren't going to hear it on Fox News. But we got to get people to pay attention and just listen and watch Bernie. That's all you have to do. You don't have to do, and you're a convert, because they realize, they sense that he's the real deal. This is for real. He means it. When he fights for expanding Social Security instead of cutting it like the Republicans want to do. Oh, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, they want to cut it. They want to eliminate it. They want to privatize it. Can you imagine what would have happened to Social Security? And right now I'm particularly addressing people over 65 like me. What would have happened if Social Security had been handed over, privatized to Wall Street in 2007 when George W. Bush wanted to do it? Now, he didn't get a chance to, but that's what he wanted to do. What would have happened to your Social Security pension had that happened when it crashed in 2008?
Well, we don't have to speculate. We can look at the people who did have their retirement in Wall Street.
And the people who lost their homes.
Had to go back to work.
Exactly. Who absolutely lost their pensions, lost their homes. It goes on and on between that crash and the cannibalistic thieves on Wall Street who've stolen over $2 trillion from us in that debacle. And of course, we bailed them out, but we didn't bail out the average homeowner who lost his home or the average pensioner who lost his pension. We got screwed right and left. And Bernie would change that. I believe in him wholeheartedly and been waiting many years for somebody like Bernie.
Well, I'd like to come back to the meat of our conversation, which we talked earlier before we jumped on the mic about, and I guess the camera this time, about talking about different issues on some of these episodes.
Yeah.
And I think that's a fantastic idea. And I think one we should talk about today, because of the timeliness of the release, is labor. I think we should dig down into that a little bit, if you're okay with that.
Absolutely.
Because I'm going to save my commentary on that until we get into it. The one thing I do want to do before we jump into the main conversation of this podcast is talk about BernieCast and how great it's doing. Just before we jumped on here, I saw that we had a ton of plays from you, from iTunes, and our new producer, Zach Spears, pointed out that, he pulled it up on his phone. We are on the front page of iTunes, and that is really awesome for me. We're now on our mm-hmm. third episode. Mm-hmm. We've been doing this for 3 weeks and we're already on the front page of iTunes. That, to me, is astonishing. And that shows that there's a hunger for this type of information and there's a hunger for this type of media. And so already our plan of doing this political revolution is beginning to come to fruition. I mean, we're there because people listen to BernieCast.
You know, I think there's also a hunger for our optimism.
Yes.
Bernie will be the next president of the United States. People are hungry to hear good news and to hear the hope.
Yeah.
And we feel it and we mean it and we believe it. And if you want to call that some kind of conversion, well, yeah, call it. I don't care. I'm excited. And it's nice for an old guy to get excited. You know, there's not a lot of things excite old guys like me. I won't carry any further with it. We'll leave that. We'll jump over that.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to talk about that's really exciting is we are now a part, officially, of Bernie TV. A 24/7 Bernie Sanders streaming network. And so the most likely the next podcast that we do will be streamed live on Bernie2016.tv for anyone who wants to tune in to watch us do this live and see the things that we're going to likely cut out in the normal show when it gets out to people. So that's really exciting, and I'm glad. It sounds like there are a lot of really talented individuals working on Bernie TV, and I'm super excited to work with them. That's a group that has a lot of enthusiasm.
I know. Just like us. I have met through Bernie Sanders. Just supporting Bernie Sanders, starting with you, starting the Douglas County Coalition for Bernie Sanders for President, and the rally we had for him here in Lawrence, Kansas, home of University of Kansas.
Right.
I have met so many interesting, smart people that are also excited.
And passionate.
Passionate. And, you know, I every once in a while I think about that lady who complained that, where were the millennials? Where were the young people? Are you kidding? Lady, the steering committee for the Douglas County Coalition for Bernie Sanders for President, they're all under 35. I'm the only old fart, old guy on it, you know? Okay, so.
So the other thing I wanted to say is that for those of you who are listening to us, maybe on iTunes, we now are recording this video, and so if you want to catch this, you'll be able to do that on our YouTube channel, and that's BernieCast on YouTube. Just head over to that channel. We'll have it up, maybe not immediately at the same time that we'll have up the audio, but we'll try to get it up in a timely manner, and you can actually see our faces, see what we look like. I'm looking at the camera now, and see Fred, the Mike's dog.
Yeah, Fred. Fred's got to get in here. He's where'd you go?
He's behind you.
You could probably hear him going ticky tacky with his claws on the hardwood floor here in the kitchen. We're sitting at a kitchen table. This is our studio. This is it, right? The banging you hear is Fred's tail, which whop whop whop. Okay, Fred, chill now. All right, good.
And I do this, and I'm gonna make a plug for us because it's good to build these. Like I said last time, we can't carry through on this political revolution unless we organize, we get together, and we support each other, especially when creating media like this. If there's any way you can support Bernie Sanders, the campaign, or Bernie TV, or Bernie Cast, or any of the other initiatives that are trying to get the information out there, I implore you to do that because it's vitally important. And one thing that we have going on is we have our donate page on BernieCast.com. You go there, you click donate, you can become a subscriber, and you'll get access to any overtime clips, any extra content, or just recently I've actually got some content that I have yet to release that's just sitting there. I don't really want to like cut it and throw it out there, you know, but it's not necessarily something that fits in the main shows. And so if you become a subscriber, I'll just give everyone access to that, and I'll curate it in some fashion, but you'll be able to hear the outtakes, the things that don't make it into the normal show, as well as we're going to try to make it so that you can tune in to other content that we have that we'll make exclusive.
Well, I want to mention one. I crossed my fingers a minute ago to remind me to mention it, and it's because it's been around for so long. 2 years ago, I created a website, that website is www.sanders-warren2016.com. I've got over 20-some pages on there that I built over these 2 years because it was over 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago, that I decided that Bernie Sanders was about one of the only hopes we had in 2016. And I'm also very fond of Elizabeth Warren. So originally the banner had both of them pictured side by side on the first page that you come to when you go onto the site. But I have RSS feeds from Bernie Sanders, so everything that's going on with Bernie Sanders that he releases is on my RSS feed, also from Elizabeth Warren. Plus, I have a guest page with guest writers from Truthout, from Huffington Post, and other places. And I have my own blog, My View, and then, of course, Bernie Sanders for President page. But I encourage you all to go on to that and give me some clicks there, because we're all working together to improve our situation. And our situation in America today is dire. I don't care what anybody says. I lived in Europe for 30 years and retired 4 years ago from my job and moved to Lawrence, Kansas. Back here, I have family here. And I bought a house and started to settle in, and with the intent of getting involved in politics and, of course, looking into Bernie Sanders and starting my website 4 years ago. It actually got off the ground in 2013. And so I was shocked. I still have a bit of culture shock from the problems that we have here in the States. You just don't have. They're not as intense in Europe, in spite of what you see in here. I also volunteer for Just Food, which is a free food pantry, and I work down there, and I know what's going on. We have, some days we are packed. We serve 160 families a day in 6 hours. 160 families are going out of Just Food with boxes of groceries that they need. They need it. And many of these people have jobs. They just earn so little money that they can't feed their kids.
Right.
So we got problems here, but Bernie Sanders can help fix them, and I believe him when he says he will.
And one thing then this is a good segue into what I wanted to talk about today, is wages. I was looking, and I realized that wages in the U.S. are sad compared to a lot of developed countries. I saw the average wage, and I could be wrong on this, but I was watching a video today, and it said that the average wage of a middle-class earner in South Korea is $10,000 a month. To me, if that's true, that's crazy to me, because that is not near that in most parts of the United States.
Well, even if you know, the median income in the United States is less than $50,000 a year.
Yeah, absolutely.
A year. We've got people living on $1,000 a month. We've got people living on I don't know how you could live on and support. You certainly can't support a family. Now, those of you who are at home right now listening to this, get a pencil, paper, get out your calculator, and you multiply $8 an hour by 50 hours a week. What do you get? You get $320 a week times four. Okay, that's $1,280 a month. How can you live? How can you feed kids on $1,280 a month? You can't do it. But that's what people are expected to do. So right. What do? Man and wife living together with three kids, they each work two jobs and they just make it. But then they fall short. But thank God for a place like Just Food, the free food pantry, where we regulate this very carefully. We know what their income is. We know what their household size is, and we check on them. But they need that to make it to the end of the month until they get their paycheck again. But that's ridiculous. Nobody should have to work 70 or 80 hours a week in order to have a living. Let's go back to the purpose of minimum wage. The purpose of minimum wage was to establish the basic minimum you could earn and live on.
Right.
It was considered to be a living wage. $7.25 an hour is not a living wage. I don't care how you cut it. No way.
Yeah, and that's why, as a segue, unions are important. That's one of the reasons unions are important, other than just having your needs, heard by your employer. And the problem is, and we can dive right into this, and you probably have a much better idea of the history of unions than I do, because unions have not been near as powerful since I've been around, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
And I can say, as someone who has worked, you know, I've worked somewhere where I would have given anything to have a union, because it was one of those things where it's like, you're lucky to have a job, you know, and you really didn't have any repercussions because you were worried about if, you know, I don't want to raise my voice too much, you know, about these problems because I don't want to get let go. And so if you could maybe provide me with a little bit of history on unions as far as
well,
you've
I can
seen
even tie
throughout
it in,
your lifetime?
Tie it in with Kansas. My grandmother, when she was 16, my grandmother on my father's side, when she was 16, marched in a parade. The United Mine Workers went on strike down in southeast Kansas. There was a time when the little towns down in southeast Kansas were big, fairly big communities, and there were thousands of coal miners. My grandfather went to work in a coal mine when he was 9 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
And his job, the first job he had, was in charge of the donkeys who pulled the carts up the hill and dragging the coal out of there. Then he moved on to the conveyor belt where they'd sort it, the coal coming up, until they had a terrible accident and pieces of one of the coal miners came up. There was an arm went by him on the conveyor belt.
Oh, my goodness.
He was finally died as a result of that. When he was 47 years old, he was crushed in the mine and
this
died.
Was
my grandfather.
Oh, my goodness.
And he died a few months later. I never knew him. My father at that time was 12 years old, and one of our distant relatives, another old Irishman, was a superintendent in one of the mines, and he wanted to put my dad to work down in the mine. Dad said he was 12 years old, and he had enough sense not to do it. He went to work in a grocery store. Later in life, my father had his own grocery and meat market down in Scammon, Kansas, and raised three kids on it, and all of us went to college, by the way. He put us helped us all go through college. But those were the days. So if it weren't for unions, you wouldn't have a 40-hour week. You'd have a 14-hour day, 6 days a week. If it wasn't for unions, you'd have your children working down there. You'd have to. You'd have to let your 10-year-olds go to work in order to survive. And if it wasn't for, I could go on and on with the benefits of that unions go. And they say right to work. Right to work, hell, it's a right to starve to death. That's what a right to work bill is all about. They don't want unions because they want you to get the cheapest wage possible so that the profits and the people who do not work for a living, who simply buy stock, can make money doing nothing. And that's what it's about. And CEOs that get millions and millions of dollars a year in salary for destroying companies.
Well, I kind of find it interesting that one of the biggest industries in the U.S. is the financial services market.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Talk about, if you think about it, from a production point of view, if you think about from, like, what you... You know, if you look into the history of economics and the history of markets, you know, it's kind of crazy to think that you have the financial services industry and the people who work in it making all these money, while the people who are actually producing goods and services are, like, you know, traditional goods and services are, you know, they're not making near what they, I mean, that doesn't translate on down to them.
Well, the good jobs have been shipped overseas. Okay, for example, do you know that antibiotics, if you get sick and your doctor prescribes antibiotics, those antibiotics come from China. They're totally unregulated, unsupervised. We have really no idea what's in those antibiotics and no way of knowing, because the last factory to produce penicillin, for example, in New York State closed 3 years ago. Now we're raising chickens in this country to have this, to slaughter them, freeze them, send them to China for processing. They process them, freeze them, and send them back, and they go on your shelves. And just yesterday, Congress passed a law by 300 votes saying that you don't have to have labels on the meat so you know where it came from.
Yeah.
In other words, if I go to the store and I see a package of chicken, and I want to know, where is it from? Is that an Iowa chicken that came to me via China? I want to know. I have a right to know where the hell that chicken's been. Where are you? I want to know why the chicken crossed the road. Okay.
And Congress,
and Congress says, I can't. That they don't have to put it on there. Well, I'm telling you, I'm seriously thinking of going vegetarian. Because, my God, I don't know what I'm putting in my body. And when I was a boy, growing up in my father, with my father being a butcher and having a grocery store, I ate organically. We just didn't call it that because it didn't put hormones. They didn't fill cattle and chickens full of hormones then.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So
whole other issue.
Yeah. So coming back to unions, when did you see this big anti-union push happen, or has it always been there?
No. If you look at the 1956 platform of the Republican Party that Eisenhower endorsed, one of the lines in there is making sure that the unions and our workers in this country remain strong. It was in the 60s, and I think that it was a result of suddenly big business, the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned us against, really figured out that with the Vietnam War, they could make a lot of money. I mean, when you think that, frankly, we spent so much money on the Vietnam War that we could have paid every Vietnamese in the country, north and south, $25,000 a year and just left, and it'd be cheaper. But it was during that time of upheaval that the big mass propaganda machine and began beating alongside the war drums. And the beating was, unions are bad, bah. Bad unions, bad. And you drill that, oh, it's Goebbels from World War II, Hitler's propaganda minister. Tell a lie over and over again and tell it enough, and people will believe it. They will take it to their heart, and they will believe it. That's why you've got people in America that think Jesus walked around with dinosaurs, lived at the same time. That's why you have people who believe that Obama is a secret Muslim.
Atheist Muslim.
Atheist, socialist, communist, fascist, dictator Muslim. He's one of them Muslims. Tell a lie, tell a big lie, tell it often. People believe it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the unions, sure, do they have their abuses when Jimmy Hoffa was in power and the problems that they had back in the 60s, but they fell from grace when they planted Jimmy Hoffa under somewhere. We haven't dug him up yet. We don't know where they hit him, but when they planted Jimmy Hoffa in a concrete grave probably under some highway, that began the demise of unions in America. And when I first went to New York at Zach's age 19, I worked for United Parcel Service, and I thought I was in Fat City because it was a union job. And I had, there were certain rules of safety rules. And I had the guy, I said, well, these are kind of silly. You don't be a dumbass kid. I didn't know. And a guy says, look, he said, we're looking out for your health and your safety. What's wrong with that? Well, nothing. you know. But you know how you are when you're 19. Mm-hmm. At least I was. I thought I was immortal.
So the counterargument is, I don't want unions because I have to pay more when unions are, you know, operating at
well, but they earn steam. More. They earn more. Everybody, yeah, I'm from the point of view of the employer, but as far as the employees, yeah, they pay a fee to get in, a membership fee.
Well, I'm saying, you know, this is something that I heard the other day. I was actually talking to someone about my Bernie Sanders 2016 shirt that I got from the campaign.
Yeah.
And it has a little sticker that says, union made in the USA.
That's right.
Somebody said, I told them about that, and someone said, I don't know about unions. You have to pay more for the stuff that's, you know, services and goods made by unions. And I was like, well, yeah, probably a little bit more, but you know it's quality. You know the person isn't suffering on the other end. You know, it's, there are some really good things that come from that. But I want to hear what your argument would be to that.
Well, I would just say, my God, man, what kind of an American are you? You got that's American made. You are helping to provide a job for another American. Every time you go to Walmart, you are screwing the rest of us. Now, let's talk about a social contract. Do we have a social contract or not? Now, a social contract means simply that we all agree that we all want highways, we all want bridges, we all want good schools and good public buildings, and we want our kids to be safe. We want to be protected from fire and be protected by the police, and we tally up and we pay taxes to pay for that. Mm-hmm. That's part of the social contract. But also part of the social contract is that guy 2,000 years ago, oh, what's his name? What was it? Feed the hungry. Take care of the people. Take care of each other. I don't worry about once in a while, I am sure that down there at Just Food, somebody comes in and scams us out of a couple loaves of bread. Big deal. But when I read about General Electric making $13 billion in profit and paying zero in federal income tax, that pisses me off.
Right.
Those are the welfare queens, are the huge corporations.
Yeah.
And so this guy, what do you, I would say to somebody who said that to me, what the hell are you talking about? So you pay 50 cents more, so you pay a dollar more, so you pay $2 or more to see to it that that money gets in circulation. Look at the very fact that in Seattle, Washington, in the state of Minnesota right now, the governor in Minnesota did exactly the opposite of what Sam Brownback did here. He increased the minimum wage. He recommended and promoted union activity. It's now the number one state. Businesses are flocking there. You put more money in circulation. Who are the job creators? Who are the job creators? Is it the rich people? No, they don't create jobs. You create jobs. You create jobs. I create jobs. You know how we do it? By going out and buying things.
That's right.
And if we don't have any money to buy things, we're all screwed because it comes to a screeching halt. So, yeah, I got lots to say to the guys. Well, I'd have to pay more for my hamburger. Well, tough. Live with it.
Yeah. So what would be your, like, let's say, you know, you let's have you channel Bernie Sanders the best that you can. What's the argument for why he supports unions? I mean, you covered the some points there. I want to know, do you have any feel for where that comes from? Why?
Well,
Bernie
sure,
Sanders
because he comes from a working class family. I come from a working class family. Even though we all became so-called educated, we didn't forget about our roots. I mean, he grew up in an apartment in Brooklyn, he and his brother. His dad was a paint salesman. He lived with people who were working class, who understood what it was to go out and work hard 40, 50 hours a week and be thankful to God for the union that supported them. You know, I mean, a guy who had a job as an automaker, a builder on a Ford assembly line in the 50s and 60s, he could afford to buy his family. His wife could afford to stay home with the kids. He could afford to buy a nice car and a nice house. And his kids, you know, he was able to feed them well and clothe them well on his only salary. And he was able to send them to college.
Right.
Now, what happened? But at that time, 33 to 35% of our treasury was taxes provided by corporations. Because the corporations paid their fair share in that day. Today, what percentage of our treasury comes from corporate tax? 9%. Nine. So that's right there is a huge hole. And every day, another lawyer finds another loophole for his filthy rich master to exploit and rob our... Listen, there's nothing I admire more than a guy who starts out a little business and works hard and becomes very well-to-do. But after you've made $10, $20 million, what the hell do you need to rest for? The Koch brothers are multi-billionaires, $100 billion between them. Billion. I mean, I can't picture all that money. How much do you need? And then to work so hard spending some of that money trying to keep from paying taxes and cutting food stamps, cutting Social Security, cutting this, cutting that. I don't understand it. And it's got to end. And I think that's exactly what Bernie would say if you were talking to Bernie right now about that.
Well, maybe, just maybe, with our newfound popularity, we'll be able to ask him ourselves.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Be nice to get him on there. Yeah.
Maybe he'll have us over to Vermont and we can sit on the porch.
Well, I want to eat some Ben and Jerry's ice cream while I'm there.
Yeah.
Say I got it from right there.
So, I don't know how long we've been going, but...
And I think it's time to wind it down. It's time to call the cows home. And as the sun sets in the west, and Fred settles down for his evening nap, we say, from the BernieCast guys, Auf Wiedersehen.
So
we got to have some laughs here.
Yeah, exactly. So if you want to keep up with us, go ahead and tell them where they can get you on Twitter.
Oh, it's easy. J. Michael Pryor. Mike Pryor on Twitter. That's
it's at J. Mike
at
Pryor.
J. Michael Pryor. J. Michael and J. Mike. So
okay.
But Mike Pryor gets me. They find me.
Yeah.
They find me. It doesn't matter how
and
I
use
hide.
The hashtag real deal.
Real deal. Bernie's the hashtag real deal. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then And then you can do hashtag BernieCast if you want to share us. There's also with our handles at Bernie Podcast on Twitter. If you go to Facebook, we now have facebook.com/BerniePodcast. If you go to Google Plus, we're on Google Plus now. It's google.com/BernieCastPodcast.
And I forgot to mention, I have a radio show, Kansas Free Radio, every Sunday from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And my guest coming up this week is Jeremy Farmer. He is the mayor of Lawrence, Kansas, and he is also the director of Just Food, the free food pantry I referred to. And so for more information on that, go to my website or on Twitter or whatever.
Okay, and then another one that we do that's Kansas-centric is I do Free the State. yes. freethestate.com. If you want to donate to us, like I said earlier, you can go to BernieCast.com and click the donate link. And then if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me at Ryan Lee Sipes, RyanLeeSipes. And then another thing that I'd like to plug briefly here is we have – so there's Bernie TV, which I talked about, and you guys will want to keep your eyes on that. That's Bernie2016.tv. And then I'm trying to go through all the things I'm supposed to plug this time because now we're celebrities, being the front page of iTunes. You can find us on iTunes, on Stitcher Radio, on Pocket Casts, on TuneIn Radio. I guess we're on Overcast and Downcast too. We're on every single app out there.
I'm often Downcast.
There you go. And so if you have a podcast app that you like to listen to us on, head on over. You know, if we're not in there, feel free to comment on our, on the website and let us know, and we'll try to submit, you know, our podcast to any podcast apps that we're not already on. And then if you want to catch us on YouTube and see our beautiful faces, we might look at the camera and give them a smile.
Yeah, we got to get Fred in there, and Fred's down before we're getting excited.
If you're interested in that, just search for BernieCast on YouTube.
Thanks for tuning in.
Yep, I think that's everything. So we'll see you next time.
Bye.